Wisdom is having things right in your life and knowing why. If you do not have things right in your life, you will be overwhelmed. You may be heroic, but you will not be wise. If you have things right in your life, but do not know why, you are just lucky, and you will not move in the little ways that encourage good fortune. The saddest are those who are not right in their lives, who are acting to make things right for others. They act only from the self, and that self will never be right. No luck, no help, no wisdom. When I told Andy I was teaching today, and he said, what are you going to talk about? And I said, something about well-being, I'm not sure. And he said, well, you know, they say you should teach what you need to learn, and I have a suggestion for you. And he suggested tolerance, and I'm like, oh, okay. Well, just for context, I happened to be behind the wheel of a car at the time, and that's probably all I need to say about that context, because I'm guessing you know what I mean, and you could probably figure out the rest of the conversation. So I will say that part of my journey towards personal well-being is learning to be more consistently tolerant of people and situations for which I have little patience. There obviously also is a need for me to learn about wisdom, because when I looked back at my previous C3 talks, I found that I had chosen that same poem that I read back when I taught in December. And, you know, I just find that there are certain verses that you keep coming back to over and over and over again. And I've noticed that over the years I've been to C3 that we hear some verses over and over. And I think part of that is so valuable, because each time we come to that verse, we're a different person. You know, we're in a different place. We hear it with different ears, and different things strike us. And so it took on a different meaning for me this time around. And so I just decided to go with it. And rather than follow the thread of exploring how my intolerant alter ego takes over when I'm driving and how that compromises my well-being, and maybe yours too, I'm thinking about last week's pre-talk. It was in that conversation that something pinged for me about the connection between self-awareness and well-being. And as I considered it further, the connection expanded, and it started to include the ideas of self-worth, self-love, self-compassion, self-acceptance, self-respect. And these self-attributes are critical to the well-being of all of us, and in particular, I think of the people who are being celebrated this month. They inform the well-being of LGBTQ+ folk who are facing still, in 2022, facing headwinds in society, and especially in religious circles, just because of who they love. Some of you might have seen this on Facebook or read it, but just this past week, the Synod of the Christian Reformed Church met at Calvin College. And they voted, one of the things that was on their agenda was I think they had commissioned a human sexuality report. And they voted 131 to 45, to approve a list of sins that the denomination deems intolerable, including, among other transgressions, homosexual sex. The statement issued after the synod, from the synod after the vote said, what was shared by everyone is a desire to love and care for people in the LGBTQ community. We want them to know that God loves them and the church loves them. We want to care for them and walk alongside them. So when I read that, I think their vote was aligned with the archaic notion of hate the sin, love the sinner. How is that good for anyone's well-being? Are they the gatekeepers of God's love when they say, we want them to know that God loves them? Don't they feel that and know that for themselves? And that they want LGBTQ folk to know that they're loved even though they engage in what they define as a sin. They say that they're following biblical directives, which they might say is wisdom, but which I say is using scripture to justify discrimination and exercise power and control over another person's body, mind, heart, and soul. And this makes me sad for friends and neighbors I know who are members of the CRC and who spoke out at that synod, and they're heartbroken by the actions taken. But it also makes me really, really, really grateful for communities that unapologetically live the value of radical welcome and belonging, like Bethany Church, which is a CRC church in Muskegon, the UCC church, the Presbyterian church I was part of in Tacoma, and of course, C3. We can't underestimate the power of walking into a space and feeling that sense of welcome and belonging and how that contributes to well-being. The role of self-respect, self-worth, and self-love on well-being also informs Black people who are still also facing strong headwinds. 157 years after the first Juneteenth, and today is Juneteenth, when slaves in Texas, the last state in the Union to have institutional slavery, were finally notified that they were free. More than a century and a half later of trying to legislate equity and reckon with and repair the wrongs of the past, those actions are all necessary for all of us to have full well-being. It's hard enough to practice self-worth and self-love, but when you have to confront the gremlins in your head and the gremlins that are outside that are looking to keep you down and suppress your vote and silence your voice, that makes true well-being very elusive. And also on our minds today are fathers, who, while much less, way less marginalized than any other demographic that you can think of, they can still struggle with well-being and wholeness because of a long history of toxic masculinity, being a dominant energy. It wasn't thought of as toxic at the time. It was just thought of as being strong, being alpha, being boys will be boys. Gender role stereotyping at work and in the home, treating violence as an option for solving disputes or as legitimate discourse, political or otherwise, and rejecting the feminine energy that every man has. It's fortunate that there is increasing understanding that if we want equity among the sexes and generally more happiness and fulfillment for all, ridding our culture of toxic masculinity has to be treated with as much importance as empowering and uplifting women. Because for all of us, at the end of the day, our well-being is dependent on being true to who we are, even when society is telling us to be something or someone else. And that's how your second song fit perfectly into that. The state of our well-being is linked to the degree that we are able to be our whole being. Last week, we learned about the concept of holens, which is something that is both a whole in and of itself, as well as part of a larger whole. The person who coined the phrase, Arthur Koestler, says that a holon is something that has integrity and identity while simultaneously being part of a larger system. It's a subsystem of a greater system. And I had a brief period of time to be thinking about this. I had to go to Wikipedia. So that's going to have to do. But I found this idea in the Wikipedia article. There's no citation for it, but I thought it was a really good, relatable frame for this. And they said a fractal is close to the idea of a holon, as it is a part that represents the whole at the same time. Do seeds contain trees? Or do trees contain seeds? We could say both are true because trees and seeds are examples of holons. And in my mind, this connects to the South African concept of Ubuntu, simply described as I am because we are. And I got to thinking, what if you reverse that? We are because I am. And then you could take it in a slightly different direction and consider this. The way we are is because of the way I am. The way we are is because of the way I am. This embodies reciprocity, and as we've talked about in here, sacred reciprocity. That means if we want a healthier well-being on a societal level, we have to take responsibility for our individual well-being. Each is dependent on the other. And part of what we talked about in pre-talk is not just us humans, but the animals, the environment, and how we all interact with one another, seeing and honoring, recognizing their wholeness and their perspective, and recognizing it's different from ours. And that's how we as C3 community have defined that value of well-being. It reads, we promote wholeness and wellness of mind, body, and spirit, recognizing our self-responsibility, interrelatedness, and interdependence. I want to suggest that our ability to cultivate that value of well-being for ourselves and for society is reliant on cultivating self-awareness and wisdom. Healthy well-being isn't just something that happens to us. It's tied to intention, which is about being awake and being conscious of the choices that we're making, which requires and leads to self-awareness and to wisdom. So think back to the first lines of the Stafford poem that I read. Wisdom is having things right in your life and knowing why. If I read that and I equate having things right in your life with wholeness and wellness of mind, body, and spirit, it's not enough to just have those things. We have to know why those things are right in our lives, what choices we've made that make them true, how we have exercised our gift of free will. And that might seem like overkill or unnecessary, but I would disagree. Knowing why things are going well is part of our self-worth and our self-respect, because very few things that go well are the result of pure luck. How many times have you had a success, or you've seen someone else be successful and they attribute it to, well, I was just lucky? No, you weren't just lucky. Somewhere along the line, you made a choice to go take a job, to read a certain book, to go on a trip, to attend school, to ask questions, to introduce yourself to someone, to show up when you really just felt like staying home with Netflix and a good book. You made a series of choices that placed you in a particular moment in time that led to something good happening that made things right in your life. And the more aware you are of the choices you made, the more you own those choices and don't dismiss your success as pure luck, the more you can continue to make future choices that will build on your good fortune. Imagine if the next time someone congratulated you for an achievement or positive outcome, instead of saying, well, thanks, I got lucky, or some other dismissive response, you said, thanks, I made some good choices and had lots of help. Or thanks, it feels good that my hard work paid off. That's not boasting. It's just feeling appreciation and acknowledgement of the alignment of right action, right timing, right mindset, right support. It's honoring that you made intentional choices, that you followed your intuition and your heart, you used your intellect, and you took responsibility for your choices and your life. You likely also asked for help, and you accepted that help even when your pride resisted it, and you very likely helped others along the way. The more we understand and appreciate how we created any success we have in our lives, the more we cultivate well-being and wisdom. Wisdom is defined by Merriam-Webster, because you know we love to define our terms here. We always have to, every time we're in pre-talk and somebody brings up a term, it's like out come the phones and everybody's looking it up and saying, what's the actual dictionary definition? The ability to discern inner qualities and relationships, insight. Well-being and wisdom go hand in hand because well-being calls on us to be able to have insight into who we are and what motivates us, to discern inner qualities and relationships. If we want to make a difference in the world, then there's an individual journey of cultivating wisdom and well-being, because the way we are is because of the way I am. If I am only acting from the self and trying to prove my worth to others, then the we that I'm creating is driven by an unhealthy ego. But if I'm intentionally acting out of wisdom and integrity and in the spirit of increasing my well-being, then I'll naturally have a healthy influence on the larger we. And that's what keeps it from being self-serving. When you do your inner work, and it's hard work, we also talked this morning about how it can be uncomfortable. It's not just face masks and bubble baths. It's therapy. It's confronting our role in whatever we see as injustices in society. When we do that inner work, it's felt by everyone around us. And to shift Stafford's words just a tiny bit, because of your choices, you will move in the little ways that encourage good fortune. And your good fortune enables others' good fortune. Let's consider the close of the poem. The saddest are those not right in their lives who are acting to make things right for others. They act only from the self, and that self will never be right. No luck, no help, no wisdom. At first hearing, it can sound like he's saying that if we try to improve the lives of others, we're acting selfishly. Instead, and this is my interpretation, which I haven't researched or Googled to see if I'm close, but the way I read it, I think he's saying that if we're sleepwalking through our lives without reflection, without wisdom, without knowing that we are because I am and I am because we are, and we're only focusing on being the hero in someone else's story, we've missed the boat. We won't have wisdom, we won't have luck, and we certainly won't have well-being. We need to be the hero of our own story. No one else is going to do that for us. Think of the groups that I mentioned at the top of this talk, LGBTQ, Black and Brown people, fathers. They need to be the heroes of their own story in order to experience true well-being. And we can't assume, and this is really important, that our definition, my definition of well-being, is going to be the same as theirs. If we're among those who have always had the winds at our backs, then our responsibility is twofold: to be the hero of our own story, and to contribute to creating the conditions that empower others to be their own hero. That is true well-being and wisdom: being in right relationship with yourself and making space for everyone around you to be in right relationship with themselves. And so, as I love to do, I just want to leave you with a few questions to reflect on. What choices have you made that have led to your good fortune? How much have you acknowledged yourself for those good choices? What wisdom have you gained that's contributed to your well-being? When have you been the hero of your own story? And finally, what have you done to support others in being their own hero? And I leave wishing you the awareness and wisdom to move in little ways that encourage good fortune. Thank you.